awesome. Let's pray together. Father, we come this morning to acknowledge just your sovereign lordship over our beautiful town of Parker. You're the God of this city, and as such, you claim every neighborhood, every street, every home, every business, every school, every church, every institution, and every person, really, as your very own. In love, you claim us. By grace, you save us. Through your sacrifice on the cross, you purchase us at an incredible price. And so we come to praise you today. We come to thank you today. We come to seek you today. Father, we come before you humbly asking for your blessing so that our town and all who call her home might thrive and flourish in the year ahead. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, and all God's people said, amen. Go ahead and grab a seat, y'all. Welcome to Parker Days. Isn't this awesome? Wow, we got perfect weather. It is just fantastic. Man, this is one of our, if not our favorite services of the year. We are honored by the Chamber of Commerce to be asked every year by them to hold this worship gathering here. And so I just want to begin by thanking them for this opportunity. Can we give them a hand, the Chamber of Commerce, putting on Parker Days? It's awesome. You know, we're extremely blessed, of course, as a town or as a church, really, to serve our town in this unique way. As I stand here this morning, I'm thinking about lots of folks that I know, both in our country and around the world, for whom this would not be possible. I think about friends I've got in places like South Sudan or Eastern Ethiopia or China, who if they try to do something like this, they would risk prison or persecution or perhaps even death. Or I think about friends I've got around the country that really find it almost impossible to get a permit for a public worship gathering, much less be invited into the most significant community festival of the year. So again, we are just so blessed to be here this morning to do this every year. But why do we do it? Why do we go through all of the hassle of bringing down all our chairs and all of the grills for the pancakes and all the stuff down here from Pepsi and getting set up and then tearing it all down and putting ourselves at the mercy of the crazy weather here in Colorado? We've had Parker Days services like where it's bitter cold. We've had like the raging heat where it feels like an inferno, and then days like today where it's just gorgeous. Why do we do all of those things? We get asked that question a lot, and really our answer is always the same. As believers in Jesus Christ, we are commanded by God to seek the welfare of the city where he sends us. Amen? Yeah, as believers in Jesus Christ, we are commanded by God to pray for the welfare of the city where he has sent us. As believers in Jesus Christ, we are commanded to love and to serve the people in the city where he has sent us. These are not just options. They're not just suggestions. God's not just doing a little brainstorming with us here. No, this is the divine mandate that God has given us, going all the way back to the beginning of time, all the way back to the Garden of Eden. It's also the divine mandate that God will fulfill at the end of time in the New Jerusalem when Jesus returns. And it is the divine mandate that God expects from us in this in-between time when the world that he loved and created, and again, loves so much, groans under the weight of just so much sin and evil and brokenness and suffering and death. And so, friends, through it all, from the beginning of time to the end of time and everywhere in between, God's mandate never changes because God's word never changes because God's love never changes. Amen? Yeah, his love is unconditional and it's unstoppable and it's unquenchable, and it's that love that really gives us our missional purpose as Christians. Genesis 1:28, that's where it all gets started. God says to humanity, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, exercise dominion over all I have made. This is the first commandment given to human beings in the scriptures, and it's one we see repeated over and over again throughout the Bible in various forms. For example, listen to how an Old Testament prophet by the name of Jeremiah reframes this missional purpose for God's people to a group of Jews. He's speaking to a group of Jews who found themselves living as aliens and strangers in a hostile and foreign land. He says, build houses and live in them, plant gardens and eat their produce, take wives and have sons and daughters, multiply there and do not decrease. Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. Now you can imagine how well that went over, right? What a message. Are you serious, Jeremiah? You want us to build homes here, right? You want us to establish communities here. You want us to plant gardens in the very shadow of the empire that took all that we had away. You want us to marry and have children. You want us to be fruitful and multiply. And to top it all off, you want us to seek the welfare of this pagan city. Seek the welfare of these pagan leaders. Seek the welfare of our pagan neighbors. What are you smoking? Right? Maybe that's a Colorado thing, but I imagine they said something similar to Jeremiah back in their day. Do you understand the pain and the persecution that we are under? Do you understand the injustice and oppression that we face on a daily basis? Do you not know how evil and twisted the laws of this pagan empire can be? Yes, Jeremiah says, I see it all. I know it all. And yet God's missional purpose remains. Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, exercise dominion over all that he has made. Build homes, live in them, plant gardens, harvest them, marry and have children, grow your families, build your community, establish yourself in this new land and seek her welfare. Pray for her leaders, love and serve her people. Just like Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Rebekah and Jacob and Leah and Rachel and all that have gone before you, just like they did. They were strangers in a strange land, and yet they were blessed to be a blessing. They were citizens of a heavenly kingdom, and yet they were called to be a light to the nations of the earth. They were not of this world, but they were planted in this world, and they worked for her redemption. And that is how you exercise dominion in my name. My dominion is marked by love, not hate. It's marked by humility, not pride. It's marked by service, not domination. I don't exercise dominion through tyranny, but through sacrifice. And now I'm calling you to the same. That's what the Lord says through Jeremiah to his people. And if that's what the Lord was saying to Jeremiah all those years ago, way back then, what's he saying to us today here in Parker, Colorado? How do we fulfill our missional purpose right here in our hometown? Well, let me just give you a couple of ways. First of all, we adopt a missional posture. A missional posture. Now, what do I mean by that? I mean that we adopt certain attitudes, a particular set of attitudes that inform how we engage our community, our city, and the larger culture around us. Publicly, privately, personally, professionally, individually, socially, doesn't matter. These attitudes should be on display 24/7 in our lives. The first attitude is to adopt is to be, do your best to be an ally, not an adversary. Be an ally, not an adversary. I think of a young man named Daniel in the Bible who quite possibly knew Jeremiah, by the way. He was taken into captivity as a teenager, forced to serve the same emperor who had conquered his nation, destroyed his city, and killed many of his people. How did Daniel respond? He did his best to be an ally, not an adversary. He did all he could to seek the emperor's good. He prayed for the emperor. He served the emperor faithfully and well over the course of his lifetime. And God rewarded his efforts by bringing that emperor, that pagan emperor, to saving faith. Now, does that mean that Daniel never spoke the truth, that Daniel compromised his faith or never stood up for godly values? Of course not. If you know his story, Daniel often put his own life in danger because of the stands that he took, but it was always for the good of the empire, always good for the good of the emperor. It was for the goal of influencing, you know, the empire in a godly direction. That's what it means to be an ally, not an adversary. All right, it means acting in good faith as we engage our city, as we engage our leaders and our neighbors. Amen? And that's God's call to us. A second attitude to adopt is to assume the best rather than the worst of those around us. You know, it's the easiest thing in the world is to be a cynic. I know, you're looking at one, all right? I'm the world's worst, all right? But God calls us to resist the temptation towards cynicism and instead look for the best in each other. Despite what we may see on the news, despite what you may read on social media, despite what we may experience on a daily basis in our world today, 1 Corinthians 13:7 says, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Now, I'll be the first to tell you that my love fails all the time, all right? As a pastor, I can testify that human love fails all the time, but God's love never fails. It is radical and it is universal and it extends out even to our enemies. That's what made Daniel so successful. He loved even his enemies and it allowed him to see the best in them rather than the worst. It allowed him to see how God was at work in them, turning what they may have intended for evil for good. And as we lean into that same love, friends, God gives us the eyes to see the best rather than the worst in those around us. Whether they are on the other side of the political aisle or the other side of a social issue, or maybe they hold to a different set of religious beliefs, we assume the best rather than the worst. Amen? Here's a third attitude to adopt as we seek to take this missional posture in our world. Make sure your life is a blessing and not a curse to those around you. Amen? Come on now, right? Make sure you are a blessing, not a curse. What does a blessed life look like? What does a life of blessing look like? It's a life of service. It's a selfless life. It's a life of sacrifice. And what does a cursed life look like? What does it look like to live a cursed life? It's a life that revolves around you. It's a selfish life. A life of self-absorption and self-promotion. It's the selfie life on social media where every post is about you followed by a bunch of fire emojis, right? I mean, that's what that life is like, all right? The Bible says we are blessed to be a blessing to others. God tells Abraham, in you, all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed. God tells Israel, through you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Jesus tells his followers that you're going to be salt and light in the world. Why? Because salt and light bring blessing to those around them. And we are called to be the salt and the light right here in Parker. And this is what it means to have a missional posture as we seek to fulfill our missional purpose in the world, okay? We adopt these attitudes. I'm going to be an ally, not an adversary. I'm going to seek to be a blessing, not a curse. I'm going to look for the best rather than the worst in those around me. Now, you might say, well, all that sounds really good, Doug, but where do we start, okay? I mean, those are great attitudes to adopt. Where do I begin to cultivate these attitudes? What things can I do to actually get rolling here? Well, let me close by giving you three missional practices. All right, so you got a missional purpose, we got missional posture. These are missional practices that you can put right into place right today. All right, that'll help you out. Even as maybe you're waiting in line for rides after this whole thing is over, right? You can put these practices into place, okay? The first one is this: you got to love people unconditionally. You got to love them unconditionally. You got to love those around you without strings. You got to love them with no agenda. You got to love them faithfully. You got to love them relentlessly, even radically, perhaps even recklessly, right? Just like God does, right? Despite what you may hear, despite what you may even believe, God's love is the most powerful force in the universe. Amen? It is the love of God that transforms us, that changes us from the inside out. The Bible says there is no greater love than laying down one's life for others. And that's exactly what God did for us while we were still his enemies, while we were still at war with him, while we were still sinners, while we were still pushing him away with all our might. God reached out and he embraced us and his love transformed us. And it's now that love that he extends out through us to our town, to our community, to our neighbors, to our world. So the first missional practice you can engage in, and you could do it right now today, is to love unconditionally. All right, here's number two. Proclaim God's truth unapologetically. Proclaim God's truth unapologetically. Not my truth, not your truth, not a particular ideological truth, not a political truth or a social truth or anything else that might pass for truth these days. No, I'm talking about God's truth, the truth that never changes, the truth that is eternal, the truth that transforms just like love transforms. And here's why it's critical to proclaim God's truth. It's because we live in a world that is confused. We live in a world where there's so much confusion and so much misunderstanding about what life is like and who I am and what I'm about and all of these things. And you know what, friends? God has shown us the way. And God's ways are the best ways. And God's ways are better than our ways. And he knows us better than we know ourselves. And he gives us his word to guide us so we can find the peace that our hearts are longing for. I know so many people in this world today, and so do you, maybe this even describes you, who are struggling to find peace. They're living with so much anxiety, so much anger, so much depression, so much disappointment, so much pain, so much hurt. And the only answer, friends, is to turn to God and to walk in His ways and to embrace His truth. And as we embrace His truth and as we follow His way, His promise is that we will receive His life, the life that never ends. And so we love unconditionally. We proclaim God's truth unapologetically because we know that's what's best for us and for our world. And then finally, we engage proactively, right? Here I'll ask our worship team to come back up and to get ready to lead us in our final song. We don't wait for things to happen and then always be in that reactive posture. We don't always just respond when things go off the rails. No, we engage. We get involved. All right, we start with prayer. Everybody can pray. Prayer is the most proactive thing you can do. Pray for our town. Pray for the leaders in our town. Pray for the businesses in our town. Pray for the schools in our town. If you've got complaints about how life is going right here in Parker and you're not praying, you don't get it. All right? You're not doing what the Lord wants. So engage proactively. Be in prayer, right? It's the quickest way to bless our city, and it's something every one of us can do. And then build relationships. Build relationships with those around you, especially those who are different than you. Look for ways you can actively tear down the barriers that the culture throws up to divide us, right? Look for ways to cross the aisle and cross those barriers so that we can bring blessing and life into our city. And then finally, roll up your sleeves and find a place to serve. My goodness, right? Advocate for justice and righteousness and peace. Get involved in our city. Help make it the place you want it to be, the place we know that God is calling it to be. All right? Don't just, again, complain about how bad things are. Get engaged. So we love unconditionally. We proclaim God's truth unapologetically. And finally, we engage proactively. These are the kinds of things that God's people have always done, friends, as we have sought the welfare of the cities where God has sent us. And it remains His divine mandate until Jesus comes again. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we just give You thanks for this opportunity we have to pray over our city, to bless our city, to worship in the midst of our city, to declare that God is the God of this city. And we ask, Lord, as we stand and we sing this final song, Lord, that this song would resonate deep in our hearts, that we would understand that this is not just something You declare, it's actually something You send us out to do, to be a part of. And so, God, help us to understand our missional purpose. Help us to adopt that missional posture and help us to put in practice these missional practices, God, that the whole town of Parker might bow the knee to Jesus Christ. We might develop this incredible community of love and grace and mercy, God, that would just extend blessing, not just here in our town, but to the places even beyond Parker, all the way to the ends of the earth. This is our prayer, God. We make it in the name of Jesus Christ, and all God's people said, amen. Hey, let's stand and sing our final song, friends.